episode 248 of the Finger Guns podcast. My name's Roscoe. How are you doing today? Joining me, well, it's Kat.
Hello.
Hey, pal, how are you?
How's it going? I'm all right, thank you. I'm okay.
Welcome back to the pod.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I feel like Josh and Miles were kind of saying to me that, like, although I went back for a couple of days, it felt like work. And it didn't feel like work, but it did feel like work. It was very social. Like, I was like a machine gun socialite. It's not always the healthiest thing to do, but when you're only home for a couple of days, like, and every bloody family member's like, when are you going to see me? When are you going to see me? Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Ross. Let me breathe, man. Let me breathe.
I understand. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm good.
You good otherwise, yeah? Good.
Yeah.
Good. Joshua Thompson.
That is my full name. Hello.
How you doing, pal?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thanks. Yourself?
Very well, man. Very well. A little tired, but, you know, we power on.
Oh, yeah, always. Nothing a bit of whatever you like to have your caffeine in to sort yourself out for the rest of the night.
Oh, yeah. A mug. That's what I'm talking about.
Just a mug.
Just a mug.
Would you just call Miles?
Just a mug and some caffeine.
I haven't even introduced yet.
It's the mug himself, Miles. No, I can't steal that. Sorry. It's this hosting that I've done a couple of times. Now I'm just, it's come to my head.
You've done it just twice and now he's just like, it's all me, you. Man. It's all me. I understand. And yes, you've heard his voice already, but let's introduce the mug himself. Mr. Miles Thompson.
I am the mug.
Quite. How you doing, bud?
I'm okay. Thank you, mate. Not too bad. Like you, I'm a bit on the tired train, but it's okay. We power through, don't we?
We carry on. And though you're dead and gone, believe me, your memory will carry on.
Aww. That's kind of cute.
It's a My Chemical Romance reference right there.
It felt like a kind of band reference, yeah. It felt like something a Linkin Park lyric could be.
What do you mean you felt like? Did you not viscerally hear it? Did you not viscerally go, we'll carry on?
No, sorry. Apologies.
You were different people. It's a Monday. I got it immediately.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
I knew you would, you bloody legend. So we're going to talk about that penalty yesterday, Mars.
I didn't actually watch the game, so I can't actually comment on it, to be fair.
You didn't actually see it?
No, I haven't seen it. Is it bad, good, awful?
Obviously, there isn't bias in this, but I like to think that I can watch a match and I can be impartial about certain decisions. Sometimes, yes, we give away penalties and it's obvious. Obvious. This one was just fucking bullshit, Miles. I'm sorry. It was absolutely disgraceful.
Are we talking like the same level of the Jeremy Doku on McAllister bullshit, or are we talking like different kind?
Bissaka didn't touch him. Didn't touch him. And Liverpool's player, I can't remember who it was, just ran into him.
Yeah. They're quite well versed at that, to be fair. It's one of the parts of the team I actually don't really like that much.
And I'm like, this is bullshit. VAR is a joke.
It is, to be fair.
I don't care if it's helped us in certain ways before. It's a disaster and has to be stopped.
I did enjoy the halftime stats, though, where we had 15 shots and you hadn't had any, and yet somehow we've come out with a 2-all draw.
The first half was an absolute joke.
Oh, dear.
I was like, oh, wow, we're going to get pummeled 5-0 at home. Fantastic.
Can you stop playing Kobbie Mainoo against us, please, as well? Thanks.
What a legend that guy is. My God, and Bruno from the halfway line. It was a good day, but that penalty decision was a joke.
Oh, well, I apologise on behalf of the match that I didn't watch, but... I'll take your word for it.
Newman, I was waiting for this moment to talk to you about it. I was like, I'm so angry.
But, yeah.
I'm over it now, kind of.
Mostly. You've got your system now, sort of.
Yeah, we can move on now. No more United Liverpool games to come, so we'll...
For now.
We'll call it out for now. all right, then. Let's get to Game of the Week. We'll go from the top. Kat, what be your Game of the Week?
My game of the week is Hades. I've started it. I'm in it.
I was not expecting you to say that. I don't know why. I know. Hades, okay. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm a frequent game funker right now. and maybe it's my health. I don't know. Like, maybe it's just doctorate life. So I need like, I feel like it's like that. Oh, you're not entertained? No, I'm not actually. I'm quite scatty with my PlayStation money. So yeah, Miles has been on it for quite a long time at me, being like, I played Nobody Saves the World, and loved that. Controversially, I feel like maybe it's, I mean, at first, I think I preferred Nobody Saves the World, but now I'm solidly tired. Maybe I like it a little bit more still. I like the adventure aspect to Nobody Saves the World. But Hades, roguelite, been wanting to play it for a long time, smashing soundtrack. It feels so fucking good. Right, when you kill a boss, it's just like the tits, right? I felt really proud of myself when I killed Megara, who was the first boss. Then now I've gotten to the point where I feel fucking dumb if I accidentally die against her. So it's kind of like one of those things where I was like, yeah, look at me, I'm the best PlayStation player in the world. And now it's embarrassing if I accidentally die to her or one of her sisters. So we are deep, we're balls deep in Hades, I'm afraid. I'm like 15 hours in. I cannot stop playing it. So yeah, it's my game of the week. It's a bit of an oldie, but best of its kind. So,
I love to
I'll
hear
add
it.
that.
I love to hear it. Hades is an absolute stone cold classic. So,
Absolutely. Have you played it?
I've not only have I played it, I've beaten it.
Damn,
I know
son.
it was one of those games that was like, I'm not going to be very good at this, but then you just get into the rhythm, you get into the vibe of
Yeah.
it, and then the story kicks in. And it's like, oh, this is awesome, and you just can't put it down. And
The story is, it's actually banging. Like the store, the like power, like everything is really, really cool. The characters are really, really likable. Yeah, I like it a lot.
It's cracking. Cracking. Great choice. 10 out of 10. No notes. I love it. Josh Thompson, what'll be your game of the week, sir?
Not as hot as Hades, I'm afraid. I mean, truth be told, I have only just been playing Rise of the Ronin in my spare time,
Oh, nice.
and enjoying it more and more the more I play it. The biggest sin that it commits is that it gives you the best looking, best feeling, best playing location after like 30 hours of gameplay. Which is so strange. I don't know if it's because the mechanics that you learn throughout the game end up becoming kind of your main source of traversing this area. But I feel like if people were like, there was loads of on Twitter of like, oh, look at this location, how drab and like plain looking it looks. And it's like, yeah, I could see that in a very, if they're being really, what's the name, harsh about the game. Because some people I think just wanted to hate it a little bit. But I mean, I've played it in spite of that, and I'm absolutely enjoying my time with it. But yeah, the fact that this third location in the game is the best looking one is a very strange move from Team Ninja. I wish they implemented it at the front, rather than the back. But yeah, I'm having a lot of fun. I did my game of the weeks. I really wanted to talk about were the new ones that came out this week and last week, that I reviewed, both One Last Breath, by Katniss Games Studios, Maniac Panda Games, Monatic Studios, and then Savulous by Empty Head Games. They're both 2D platformers. They've both got kind of technical flaws or nothing new added to them that kind of brings it up as like a good platform, 2D platformer for this day and age. They're not spectacular. One Last Breath is a eco-conscious 2D, 2.5D platformer. Think of like Your Inside or Your Limbo, or even more recently, Somerville, where it has this sort of low poly art style, but it's got like a strange, weird atmosphere, and there's like a there's a story that you don't really know what's going on, but you kind of like you get it inferred through the environment and through your journey. And that aspect of it, I did really enjoy. I kind of liked the just the general atmosphere of the game, and the way it played was decent enough. But I think they just bit too hard off of Playdead's playbook, basically, and didn't really come up with too much of their own ideas for the game. But it's got a cool story. It's interesting. I like the actual sort of message that they're going for. Savulus, on the other hand, is a 2D game, completely handcrafted, hand drawn, in sort of like this Pentiment sort of art style. So it's feels really classic, like it's just like really like just line work and a bit of color, like a bit of watercolor, and it's very precise. It's not it just reminds me of like sort of like the God, what's the word that I'm looking for? The drawings in books, like picture books. I wanted the illustrations. There you go. Jeez, you can tell we're all
Blimey.
tired.
It's been a long year.
And that has its own unique and interesting stuff with it. Again, kind of with the story, I personally don't know where it went and what it was doing with it. But some people might enjoy it, and the art style is pretty cool. The puzzles are okay, but the actual gameplay isn't. These both these games kind of landed on the same ballpark. I wasn't thrilled with them, but I do think other people that are more into these sorts of games might get more out of it. I also want to mention I played them on PlayStation. Both of them are pretty easy to get a platinum on. One Last Breath, I have got the platinum with. With Savulous, I'm going to have to do another playthrough for it due to my own fault. But they're a couple of hours each. They're really doable, really accessible, and if you're into that sort of game, by all means, go for it. I didn't love it, but you might.
There you go. There you go. I should say we got an email back from the PR of One Last Breath. I forgot to tell you because
Oh,
life is crazy. They were like, "Thank you
yeah.
for your gr they were like, "Thank you for your great review."
Okay.
Yeah.
That's, you know what? I'll take that. I was nice, but I was also not nice, but I was not unfair, I don't think. So it's really nice to hear that PR and developers can kind of take criticism on board as like a learning experience rather than just a negative.
Yeah, it happens sometimes. Sometimes we get blacklisted by petty PR, but that very, very rarely happens.
Yes,
Yeah.
that's kind of where I went with that. It's like,
Yeah.
yeah, some people aren't as kind.
Yeah, exactly. All right. That is, yeah, you can see the reviews of all those games up now on pinkyguns.net, except for Rise of the Ronin, of course. I have Rise of the Ronin installed on my PS5, and I still haven't started it. That's how little I've been in front of my PS5 the last 2 weeks. It's just sitting
Hey
there waiting
man,
for me.
you've got Final Fantasy as well, you know. I mean,
I
I've given
know.
up Final Fantasy for now for it, but
It's
yeah,
too
we both
much.
need to get on that.
So I need to like get higher than level 4 in Helldivers as well. I just, oh God. Scary times. Miles Thompson, what'd be your game of the week? And if it isn't Knights in Tight Spaces, I'm not interested.
Luckily, it was going to be, or it was one of. I was just going to mention on Helldivers as well, they've officially defeated the automatons as of yesterday, today, one of the two. So the bots are beaten. They're destroyed.
So that's it. No more robots in the game.
For now. I'm sure Joel, the game director in charge of the story elements, has got something cooking up his sleeve.
God, that's so cool. We must. What a cool job just to wake up and go, right, how shall I mess with my game today?
Literally, it's like, how can I screw with the community? They're on a high, they've got a win. How can I ruin their lives? Apparently, they had a surge when they got to the final planet. There was a surge of people logging in. I think they had like 230,000 people on the planet at one time. So
Damn.
it's still going strong. Sony might not have a first party game
Yeah.
out, but goddamn, Helldivers 2 is crushing it,
It's currently tracking selling faster than Spider-Man 2.
which is wild.
It's crazy.
Like, really wild. So I'm really happy for it. I'm glad it's still doing well. I do plan to hop back into it again and give it another go soon. So maybe we can all squad up again and we can get you higher than level 4.
For democracy.
For democracy. Anyway, my games of the week. So Knights in Tight Spaces, absolutely fucking wonderful, Roscoe, as you know from my reaction in the Slack. Yes, I played the demo. It's really cool. It's fights in tight spaces, only it's medieval themed with brawlers and Vikings and knights, as you might expect. It plays very, very similarly, but they've added now that you can have multiple characters on your side at any time. So the battles are kind of bigger now, where you'll have more enemies, but you'll have up to, I think I had up to three characters. And they all get to, like, as part of your turn, you can move any of them. But it also means there's more danger, because it means if you use all of your action points with one character, then another character might be left at the mercy of three enemies at once and then get absolutely battered. But it's a really small change in terms of, in theory, but in practicality, it completely changes how the game plays, how it feels, and the kind of thinking that you have to do if you want to overcome and win it. I was absorbed straight away. I got to the end of a couple of runs and I was like, right, I'm going to savor this for when it comes out properly, because I don't want to go all in now and saturate myself on it. But it's looking very, very good. And when that game comes out, it's probably going to be my game of the year. So I played the demo of that, and then I've also played Spirit City Lo-Fi Seasons. The review went live about an hour and a half ago. And this is a weird one, because it's not really a game. And it's kind of strange, because it's like a lo-fi tool platform thing. And it's just got like a really cool kind of set of track lists. It's got kind of four of them. They're all lo-fi kind of music taken from a particular YouTube radio called Homework Radio. And it's basically like a little interactable tool where you get like a little companion that you can customize. You get an avatar that you can kind of change the cosmetics for. And it's in like this little room, and you can have them do different activities. The only real interactivity is that there's like the little companions. You can kind of get them by changing like the sound effects going on, or what kind of activity that your avatar is doing. You can set like a to-do list. There's kind of a Pomodoro timer, which Kat introduced me to the concept of, because I didn't actually know it was called something in particular. And you can journal in it. You can do all sorts. So it's kind of like a background kind of extension tool for you to do other things too. And writing reviews to it is great. You just kind of have it on in the background. The music plays. You can acquire like a little avatar while you're writing away. And it's a nice little experience kind of thing. It's not like a traditional video game, but it's kind of like an interesting experiment in how video games can kind of go beyond what you would typically expect to see from them. And the music is dope. I've already bookmarked a few of them as like go-tos for whenever I log into it. And the nice thing is that you can just do other stuff while you're playing it, or have it running in the background. So I thoroughly recommend it. It's quite meditative, quite zen, and it's just a nice kind of extension while you're doing other stuff. So yeah, quite an interesting one. Hard to kind of review it, because there was not a lot to review in a sense, but it's also very cool and just like a nice relaxing atmosphere to it. So yeah, it was very charming.
Lovely. And it's coming out, it's out on everything, isn't it?
Yes, it came out today. I think it's out on PC via Steam for now. I'm not sure about any console stuff at the moment, but I know it's out on Steam.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, do check it out.
Yeah, what about you, Roscoe?
Video games. Yes, that's what we talk about, isn't it, on this podcast?
It is some of the time.
Some of the time. Yeah, I haven't played anything but Fortnite. I have been working my ass off this week, like a big grown-up boy, and my video game playing has been very minimal. But in the space I have done, I've been jumping back onto the island, doing some challenges, unlocking things, unlocking stuff. I've now got from whatever the crossover is right now. I can't remember what it is. I generally can't remember the character or where she's from, but I've just unlocked her, and she's pretty cool. Yeah, very little to add, unfortunately, in this particular window. I've had a little bit of fun playing Stumble Guys on my phone, whilst there's been some kind of downtime at work. But no, I'm really hoping to get back on the kind of gaming train this week. Now my hours are a little bit more chilled out in the this is the quiet week of my job, so I do a very busy week and then a quiet week. So hoping to get on a little bit more. I will start Rise of the Ronin this week, hopefully. But I've also got Rebirth to play. I've also got Helldivers. I've also got Welcome to Paradise. I've got so much to play. It's very difficult to be me. What can I say? It's really not. But I'm very fortunate to have all these games to play. But yeah, it's difficult to pin down one at any one time. So yeah, come back to me next week when I'll probably hopefully have a lot more to talk about. Rather than let's get into the quiz, which I assume is not a picture quiz, because why would you keep doing it, Miles? You know what I mean?
We're only 4 months into the year, Oscar. I've still got more.
I can't believe you've done this many so far. It's
I
crazy.
know, it's still going. Like,
This is
yeah.
what the where are we now? 4, 8, 12, the 14th? 15th?
God damn. Yeah, on the page that I'm doing it on, the Google Doc, it's on the 68th page currently.
That's a whole lot of screenshots.
That is a lot of screenshots, and it's a lot of downloads onto my laptop to be able to then put it on the post afterwards. So I'm gonna have to clear them out one day.
I'm only doing for 250 because that's going to be huge.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna have to do like, should I do like a big bonanza one again? We've got like 600 questions.
Well,
That was
I have been talking to people about 250 this week.
okay.
I haven't even told these guys yet,
Oh my
but
God.
ooh, it's very exciting.
Oh, that's teasing.
Yeah,
Is it John Cena?
I'm not going to say, obviously, on the thing until
Is
it
it
releases.
Ashley Birch?
I this is not a joke. I really tried.
Shit, for cereal. That's really cool.
I reached out to her agent, like you do, and I did it professionally. I didn't go to her on Twitter or anything. I was like, right, I'm going to go straight to the agent. Yeah, it was like, unfortunately, Ashley's working this weekend or next weekend, whatever it was.
That
Yeah,
Horizon 3 confirmed.
she'll be unavailable. Like, Horizon 3 confirmed. Thank you very much.
Did you
And
get
that's it.
Hayden Christensen? Are we just going to do the read-through of episode 3?
I cannot confirm nor deny that we have Hayden Christensen coming on the podcast in 2 weeks.
You imagine?
Oh, imagine. But that's very exciting. I'll talk to you about it off the pod, obviously.
Oh, that's suspenseful for everyone else.
Yes.
How exciting. I will need permissions if I don't currently have permissions, because yes, it is a picture quiz again.
You do have permission.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Again, you could deny me at any time. I think you
I
secretly
know,
do enjoy
but
these a lot.
I want to go to bed, so
You want
I
to get this over and done with as quickly as possible.
want to go to bed. People, it's 7:30, just to let everyone know. It is 7:30 at the time of recording. We haven't like made Ross come out at like 4 a.m. to record
Yeah, he's not
this.
being forced to be here.
Our poor Bobber has been working hard, haven't you, Roscoe?
Yeah, but we've all been working hard. But I feel like it's really caught up with me today on my
Oh,
one day
mate.
off.
I get
Happens,
that.
man. Yeah, that's fair.
Get your
Anyway.
excuses in, eh, Ross? Get your excuses in, babe. That's all right. You crack on, babe. Ha!
Cats on the fight and talk today.
I'm really
Wow,
not. I'm gonna
damn.
fucking lose. I'm gonna listen after the fucking Hogwarts Legacy bullshit fucking ass wipe of
Oh
the
yeah,
other
fuck that
week.
noise.
Oh, that was a wonderful quiz, that one.
Was it?
Yeah, it was wonderful. I enjoyed that a lot.
Was
Throwing
it?
in three of
Oh
my favorite games of all time into the bloody picture quiz, and I'm not there.
well. Yeah, that was really unfortunate. I'm still reeling from the fact that you weren't there for the one quiz that was basically made for you. Anywho, we have a new quiz.
Anywho.
We have a new quiz. And are we ready? We all know the rules by now, right? Hands up, hands down after you've answered. And yeah, just good luck.
And if you want to play along, the screenshots will be available on fingerguns.net on the podcast host. So do check it out there.
And if you're happy and you know it, you should clap your hands.
That is very true. That is a motto for life.
Also, I don't know
Sorry,
about
I'm like
you, but
on
I'm feeling 22.
Yeah, you are.
I'm wearing my 22 hat and everything.
Well, I'm feeling 32 this year, so I'll be singing that. Am I 32 or 31 this year? 32, fuck me.
Old.
Right, Josh.
I go back to the hat? Is it in the shape of a 22, or does it just have 22 all over the hat?
No, neither. It's a black hat.
It's a black cat that
Oh.
gets given to
Yeah, that gets given to, like, you know,
special children.
I really want. Oh, fair
special
enough.
children. It's just, it's not access, you know, in the way that, you know, she picks fans. But I just want it to be known that some of these fans have not been fucking alive enough to even be an old, like, born for her
Alive
first
enough?
album.
What's
Yeah,
alive
they weren't
enough?
born for her first album,
Old
so.
enough, isn't it? That's
Yeah. It's like alive enough.
That I might refer to age like that now, though.
I'm
I've been
afraid that's
alive. I've
zombified. You cannot enjoy
alive
this. You're too
been alive
zombied
enough.
now.
I was alive enough back then.
Miles, when you go to the Eras Tour, you'll see it all happen.
I will, and I'm going to be bewildered by at least a good half of it, I reckon.
Yes.
At least a good half of it. How dare you? You don't deserve it.
I said
You don't
bewildered.
deserve
Not that I'd hate it.
it. Right, still.
I don't think I'm quite ready for all of the like in-depth knowledge you kind of need to know to understand every reference to every single thing ever.
The
I've already
fact that
told you
you're
before.
going
No,
is testament to your relationship, if
it's
I'm being
not. He really
honest.
likes Taylor Swift. Don't act like I've tortured him into like coming because it really wasn't that hard.
I didn't say that. As someone who has no opinion here or there about Taylor Swift and their music, like I just wouldn't have spent the money and seen them. Like if Steph wanted to go, but
I mean, if
you know.
Steph wanted to go, I'd have happily gone with her. Anyway, quiz.
Oh, quiz time.
Might as
Yes,
well go to bed,
sorry.
people.
Yes, we need to get Ross to bed. So, quiz
This
time. We all
is
know the
coming from the
rules.
same guy that likes Imagine Dragons. So let's give him some give him a
I
little bit
give
of
him some.
leeway.
Unapologetically. I think they're decent.
Don't worry, I'm putting you all to bed after this quiz.
You make me a believer.
I
Sounds like
did
we have a
enjoy
good
that
time.
video, to be fair. That was
Oh my
cringe.
God.
Anyway, quiz number one, ready, go. Oh, Josh, straight in.
This war of mine.
Nice, well done.
Yeah.
Number two. Oh, Jesus, you were all literally at the exact same moment. It's told me Ross was first, so I'm going to go Roscoe.
That's Fallout Shelter.
It is Fallout Shelter, well done.
They're all going to be this game, this type of game, aren't
No. I
they?
was going to lull you
Oh.
into a false sense that there was going to be a theme, but there is not. This is the last of this type of game. So that's just going to
Oh,
throw
the
it back
Kinderman
into.
Remedy. No. Oh.
No, I wouldn't put that in there. I hated that game. It was awful. Anyway, number three. Josh.
Oh, it's Starship Troopers.
Damn it!
I need the particular one.
I'd know you fucking
You
do, you
need
prick.
it.
Because
You need it though. Like,
it's not
who's your
even a
fucking
numbered.
manager, Miles,
It's not
at
even a
this
numbered
Battle
one.
Assault? I don't know.
It's not Battle Assault.
Is it? I don't even know if that's a game or not, but it sounds like something they would have.
Afraid not. It is not Battle Assault. I like the idea though. Roscoe, Kat, do you want to have a go?
No, Starship Troopers Extermination.
It is Starship Troopers Extermination. Now, the reason that I had to do that is because there are other Starship Trooper games, and most of them are strategy games. Number four. Roscoe, you were just ahead there.
Hi-Fi Rush.
Hi-Fi Rush it is. Well done. Number five. Oh, Josh, nanosecond ahead of Roscoe on that one.
It is Death Stranding.
It is indeed Death Stranding. Well done.
Stupid game.
Not the director's cut because it says captured for PlayStation 4 Pro.
Indeed, that is correct.
If we're going to
Yep.
be pedantic again.
A nice little watermark at the bottom just to give it a little helping hand. Number six, I think this one is. Oh my God, Ross, you literally were like.
That
Go on, Roscoe.
is the artwork for Halo 3.
It is the artwork for Halo 3. I picked the
Oh!
artwork on purpose so that it was very distinctive from the other ones. Number
You trying to say
seven.
all the Halos look the same?
No, I'm trying to say that you'd all complain that I asked for the numbered one. Josh, you were first.
What the fuck, man?
What?
How can
Come on.
anyone be? There's like four of them where I'm like, there's no way no one could have been before me.
Sorry.
I'm sorry to tell you.
Simpsons Hit and Run.
Simpsons what? Okay.
Yeah, it is the Simpsons Hit and Run. I was also going to ask which one.
Needs a remake. Needs a
Yeah,
remake. It
definitely needs
really
a
does.
remake.
Yeah, it deserves one.
Such a good
Phenomenal
game.
game. The next one. Oh my God.
I don't
That
know what the
was.
fucking whole title's called.
To be honest, I will accept just the title for it. I
Yes!
don't need a specific one for this one. This was a real toss-up between you and Josh Roscoe, and it tells me you were just ahead. So I'm going to assume that Zoom's not lying to me.
It is.
Rugrats Adventures in Gameland.
I mean, I didn't need the full title, but the fact that you even went for it is impressive. It
Wow,
is the Rugrats
the
game.
fact that you did that, like, you just deserve the point anyway, because I knew it was Rugrats, but I didn't know that. Fucking
Yeah,
hell.
I
I
was just going
remember
to accept
the
Rugrats.
PR email.
Oh,
Is it a
wow.
Velociraptor?
I actually have no idea which one it actually is, to be fair. So I just went with Rugrats and I was happy to accept that.
Wow.
The PS1 one was Search for Raptor.
Oh, I just knew it from the screenshot that it was the
Well,
one I had played.
so you can see very clearly this is the PS5 version. Look at this graphic.
That high fidelity pixel.
Yeah.
I mean, Adventures in Gameland is a remake, right? So it could be one of them.
Yeah, those balloons are full on 4K. Look at them.
I think the milk bottle in the right corner is just so high fidelity, you just couldn't confuse it for anything else.
This is it. This is
I've got the dumb music in my head now, though.
Also, the game was creepy. A couple of the levels were actually well unsettling. I feel like we need a spoiler special for the Rugrats game.
Do you know what? I was scared. I know. Which level scared you?
I think there was like a couple of them. It wasn't like, it was just creepy. Like the music was just really unsettling.
when Chucky's lost in the toy store, that one scared me. Because Reptile would just come running around. And then the upside down one freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah. See, this game was ahead of its time. It was Five Nights at Freddy's before that even existed. I think this is number 10. Might be the last one. Let's find out.
He's lost count.
It's not the last one. It's the second to last one. Kat, you're first on this.
That's Rayman Legends.
It is Rayman Legends. Well done.
Legend.
And this is the final one. Josh.
Surgeon Simulator.
Fucking hell, that is good.
I was
going
to say that, and I was like, why is there a fucking donut there, though? I've never seen a donut before.
Have you never performed surgery with a donut? Are you kidding me?
No, I haven't. You're totally right. It's a remiss for me, actually.
Every surgery goes down with a donut.
It's the half-eaten bar of chocolate that gets me. Like, where's the last bit of chocolate? Is it just inside the patient's organs?
Oh, they've already eaten it. That's how I eat Kit Kats, by the way.
No, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop that.
You're a monster.
What's that? How do you eat Kit?
Look at the chocolate bar in the screenshot. That's how Josh eats his Kit Kats.
Sometimes I do. No, I do. Because I like Kit Kat chunkies, and I sometimes I haven't got a Kit Kat chunky, so I need to replicate it.
Roscoe, help me out here, man.
I haven't eaten a 4-bar Kit Kat for a while. I'll just go straight to the chunkies these days.
Yeah. See, if you go back to a 4-bar, you'd eat it like a chunky.
I found a Kit Kat chunky white chocolate Biscoff.
Stop that.
It was in the shop near to where I work, and I was like, what in the flying fuck? No way. I bought all of them and shared them with the people I work with. I was like, I bought the whole box. And I was like, guys, can you believe this? And it was a beautiful moment for all of us.
How's that, Ross?
It's basically an orgasm chocolate.
Ross works from home on his own.
Oh.
No.
It's not as good as the Mavitti's Gold Billionaire Wafer. That is still the greatest chocolate bar of all time.
That's still not tried tier. It. Not seen it. But kept an eye out.
It sells out everywhere. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And then I have to get it back in. It's so good.
Damn.
Yeah.
Either way, that Biscoff one sounds like an orgasm as a chocolate bar. So it sounds pretty good. Which means we have a winner, and it is Roscoe with 5 points. Josh, you came in close for 4 points. Kat, you got the 1 point from the Rayman games. Well done.
Thunder. How's that worked out?
In the thunder.
I feel like I've got slow finger disorder.
Thunder.
Slow finger disorder.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I literally like clicked on at least 8 of them, and I'm not a fucking sausage. You know.
A lot of them were like super close. To be fair, it was like nanoseconds between.
I also don't think Zoom can. comprehend who clicks first.
Like the split second it comes up, regardless of what it is, I'll click. And then I'll try and work it out.
It worked today.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, it worked out today, to be fair.
I have too much social anxiety to be wrong that many times, so... anyway.
But anyway, well done, Roscoe. Miles. Good win.
Thank you. It's about time. Been a while.
Well, I mean, Josh will be the winner next week. So, because obviously, by the time we get next week, Josh will have won this week. So, you got to bask.
Let us know, listeners. Let us know, listeners. Was it Rugrats Adventure in whatever game, was it Search for Reptar? And we will know our winner.
I'm just thinking about the guests that are coming on 250, and yeah, I don't think any of us stand a chance on that particular quiz.
I'm very intrigued by that.
Right, let's get to the news.
It's whoever's in the chase.
Is it Solid Snake?
Kept you waiting, huh? Right,
it's
then.
Bradley Walsh, isn't
it? Let's get to... It's Bradley Walsh.
Sorry.
Bradley Walsh. Shut the fuck up!
I'm trying to do my thing!
I don't even like this quiz.
Just keep derailing it. Sorry.
It's fine. I derail it myself quite a lot. Right then, let's get to the news, ladies and gentlemen. There's not a whole lot to talk about, but we did find some gems, including Xbox have established a team dedicated to game preservation. This is Mr. Andy Robinson over at VGC. Xbox president Sarah Bond has established a new team dedicated to game preservation and backward compatibility in future hardware. That's according to an internal memo shared by Windows Central, in which Bond also reaffirms Microsoft's commitment to future video game hardware. According to the publication, Microsoft have established a team to ensure the future-proofing of the current Xbox game library against future hardware paradigm shifts. Bond wrote, quote, "We have formed a new team dedicated to game preservation, important to all of us at Xbox and the industry itself. We are building on our long, strong history of delivering backwards compatibility to our players, and we remain committed to bringing forward the amazing library of Xbox games for future generations of players to enjoy." Unquote. The story goes on, but that's pretty much the gist. Kat, feeling good about this? This is good stuff, right? Xbox actually doing what Nintendo seemingly aren't doing, what Sony aren't doing, and actually keeping their entire library alive for their players. It's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, Nintendo are kind of doing it, I guess. PlayStation are kind of doing it, but they just kind of, like, didn't do it, and then they've suddenly started to do it, and it's all a bit like... It feels all a bit like last minute. Like, it feels like, oh, shit, yeah, time goes on. Like, that happens. Oh, shit, yeah. We kind of, like, update our fucking main console, like, I don't know, every 7 years. Oh, shit. Fuck, we should probably fucking do something about that. it's a good thing. I think it should be standard amongst all the consoles and teams, but just because, you know, people spend a lot of fucking money, like in Nintendo, when your games are like 50 quid a pop, you know, imagine getting the, you know, really excited getting the fucking next Switch up and not being able to play any of your library. Like, Steam is forever. Like, Steam's always been fucking doing this. It's kind of like, I don't know, man. It's to me, it feels like it should be standard. I'm glad they're doing it. It's good that they've got a team present for it, as opposed to relying on, I guess, the developers of the game, because I guess that sometimes happens a lot where people, you know, the developers have to kind of go back and go, okay, then, we'll sort that out.
For sure. I only say Nintendo because, you know, they did have the virtual console on the Wii and the Wii U. And they recently shut them down.
Fair. When you said that, I immediately went to the Nintendo homepage where it's got like all the old stuff, like the arcade stuff, the Tetris stuff. But yeah, you're totally right. And I guess, I mean, I feel like it's still not going to stop the support from shutting down from time to time on those games that are probably very well loved, but maybe not very played as often. And I think eventually there's going to be this like weird paradigm where if you love a game, you're going to be begging people to play it just so it stays live. But especially with live service. But it's a good thing. I think this is a positive thing. Good for Xbox. Big thumbs up.
Absolutely. Miles, are you looking forward to Xbox preserving the 6 games they have?
I knew there was going to be a joke in here somewhere about it. I think it is a good move. Like, we've seen a lot of games in recent times kind of get delisted from stores. Spec Ops: The Line is a big one for me, where it's basically not available anywhere except in physical copies. And especially as digital is becoming much more dominant in the space, you know, if a game gets delisted, it's gone. Unless you already have it, there's no means. And sometimes even if you already have it, like PT, it's already disappeared before you can even do it. So I think being able to preserve games is really important, because you don't really appreciate the games that you have now unless you know the history of where they've come from and how they kind of evolved over time. And people want to go back and play older nostalgic titles and experiences. So I think it's a good move. I think it makes sense. But it's kind of a long line of decisions that Xbox have made, where they make good decisions for a consumer, but they're still not making good games for us to play yet. It's a nice move. It's consumer friendly, and I'm glad to see that games will be preserved, because it is a shame when you see something delisted or unavailable to purchase after a certain amount of time, usually because of licenses or all that kind of thing. So let's hope that it just continues and that everyone else follows suit, because it's a big problem in the game. I think there was something I watched a a thing about it not too long ago, and there was something like thousands of games get delisted and just disappear forever. And there's some quite big, important games in the history of like video game industry. And it's just crazy to think that these companies will just let them disappear into the ether to never be seen again, when they could just be made freely available for people to experience at any time. So yeah, I think it's a good move. It's nice that it's happening. And yeah, let's hope that everyone else follows suit and we all get to keep all the games that we like.
I'm just playing Xbox fans. You know I love you. You know I love you.
We do appreciate you for the one game we get to talk about a year.
Yeah, Sea of Thieves, woo!
And to be fair, Hellblade 2 is coming out soon, and the previews have been very, very good, which has me even more excited than I already was, so that's good.
In 30 frames per second.
I know. Apparently, it doesn't. You can't really tell it's 30 frames, so I'm hoping that lives up to the hype. And also, we'll get to play it on PC, so I don't think it'll be capped at 30. I think it's just on the consoles.
I hate myself for saying that. I never thought I'd be that guy.
I know, we are those people now. I never thought I'd be that person either. And now I'm like, oh, this game's only like 40 FPS. What is this? It's disgusting. I hate it. And then I go on my PC and I get like 200. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Mm.
We're bad people now.
We are. We're terrible people. Terrible people. Josh, which Xbox game are you going to play in 20 years that has been carefully preserved by Sarah Bond?
That is a loaded question. Joe, as long as GTA 4 can still be playable, because Xbox has that on backwards compatibility already, then I'll be happy, I think.
Nico!
God, I can't even think, because I had an Xbox way back when. And the good ones that I remember have like come back out, like Abe's World, Abe's Odyssey, Strange World, I think it's called. That cowboy game that's set in the Abe's Odyssey universe. That was awesome. Third person adventure. But I'm going to be cynical for a second, because I always am. And I don't trust these companies. They're just capitalizing on the fact that people are emulating and cracking games, and they have been doing for decades, for self-preservation, basically. The consumers have been preserving games for as long as they can. So Xbox have probably seen that and like, oh my God, have you seen? They've got like all these games and we're not making any of that money anymore because they've got them. So that's where my mind goes, is like, oh, they want a piece of the pie that people have been doing, not for the sake of like, yeah, we're pirates, we want to have our games illegally, we will never pay anyone. They're just doing it for the sake of like, we want these games to stay alive, and if it takes our work to do it by cracking it and getting illegal copies of it out there, then we'll do that. Like, it's not so much the sort of FU to the big man, it's more of the, we want our games to stay around that we love. And yeah, Xbox have just seen that happening and they want to be compensated for it, I guess. It's the same with Nintendo. You said about the shutdowns, and they've also cracked down on that emulator that people were buying that had thousands of games on it. So they're all just getting really savvy about the control of games and where they should go and where they should be and who should have them. And they just want to take back the ownership, I guess, which, you know, is whatever. They did it the first, but it was theirs in the first place. Like, and they've now seen their ways and they know that preservation is a key as a part of history. I think back then maybe people were just moving on so fast, didn't see it going anywhere to, like this, that there was just that sort of blasé attitude of like, oh, whatever, let's move on to the next game, let's be better. And I think for the last 10 or so years, we've been working on similar standards for a very long time. So like the advancement in technology has slowed down for video games, so the sort of ease to keep them is a lot easier. Like PS3 games were terrible in terms of the way they coded their games was apparently such a difficult process for people that were making games for PlayStation 3. That's why we don't really see them anymore come back and come out onto the PS Plus service because of the difficulties of being able to do backwards compatibility, whereas Xbox have kind of always had it there to an extent. They're just being a bit limiting with what they've got. So who knows? Let's hope this doesn't mean that the people that have been putting in the work for years get in trouble with what they're doing, and that Xbox can just keep their word, basically. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, indeed. I'm sure they will. To be there, to their credit, they have done very well in their preservation thus far. When they figured out how to play 360 games on the Xbox One, I remember the industry was like, "What? That's impossible!" But they did it anyway. And I think they take it very seriously. So, yeah, here's to them, and hopefully it will carry on. Right then, we've got some sad news to talk about. Deck Nine developers have described toxicity at the Life is Strange studio. A dozen current and former employees criticized management's handling of the hate symbols in the game, problem employees, and crunch. This is Brendan Sinclair over at GameIndustry.biz. Developers at Life is Strange True Colors studio Deck Nine have voiced concerns about hate speech, crunch, toxic behavior, and management that was in some cases unresponsive to serious concerns, and in other cases, protected abusers on staff. An IGN report today cites more than a dozen current and former employees of the studio, two of them under their own names, with a variety of stories about the studio, accusing it of relying on crunch conditions, low pay, and treating its female employees particularly poorly when it came to doling out raises or promotions. The studio was also said to tolerate a toxic studio culture. In one concerning incident, employees described a number of references to hate symbols and racist memes being slipped into the next Life is Strange game. Despite numerous complaints, the developer said management neglected to address the Nazi imagery in the game for more than half a year before Deck Nine CEO Mark Lyons told staff that the symbols had to be removed, and the studio had determined their inclusion had been unintentional. It goes on. It's not the loveliest of articles to read, but it's a very kind of like frank discussion about abhorrent behavior and kind of like nastiness towards female staff, as these stories unfortunately always tend to kind of swing around to. He hasn't gone first yet. Miles, this kind of sucks because, I mean, it sucks anyway for any of the employees that are involved in a negative way, but it seems to also kind of go against the kind of ethos of Life is Strange itself.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most galling parts of it for me is I consider Life is Strange one of my favorite game series ever. And the whole, I guess, philosophy behind the series is about the idea of representation and inclusivity and telling good stories from perspectives that we haven't typically seen within the video game narratives that we've had over the years. And obviously Deck Nine did Before the Storm. They've done True Colors. So they really kind of emphasize a lot of that within their kind of games. And it's a shame, really, because you can see a lot of it coming out in the stories that they tell. And I consider Before the Storm up there with season one just as good as, I know Kat considers it superior, but I consider it kind of alongside. And True Colors, I also really enjoyed, and they've got some really excellently written characters within that. And it's just sad to think that they're writing these stories for these characters that we get to enjoy and appreciate, and we think, wow, what a wonderful company being able to, tell these narratives from the perspectives that we don't always see within video games. And the people writing them are suffering the exact kind of discrimination and harassment and everything else that, they're writing about in these stories. And it's just a really damning indictment of the management of the company. They've also just laid off 20% of their staff. I think they recently did that too. And what really actually got me is the statement in response to it is effectively like, oh, it's okay because we hire diverse groups of people into our company. And it doesn't even mention the allegations or the harassment or anything that's going to be done or even an apology or anything like that. And the person accused of most of the claims has simply said, well, I worked with a bunch of people and it was actually them who harassed me. And it just smacks of corporate bullshit, to be honest, of being like, oh, we hire diverse people. So this is fine. And it's like, it doesn't mean that you get to treat them all like shit. You can't claim on one side to be this really progressive, great company, and on the flip side, treat those exact employees like shit and put hate symbols into your game, and then deny their existence after the fact kind of thing. So it's just another really poor example of the industry coming from a studio or a company that we would hope was one of the few bright lights within that. And again, we've spoken about it before, but unfortunately, the video game industry is a very toxic place to exist. Whether it be the big conglomerates, whether it be even the smaller studios, it seems like it's rife throughout the entirety of it. And I think as an industry, unionization is really needed for this reason. Because I think the employees and the people who make the games that we love so much are the ones who usually end up suffering the most from the people who gain all the benefits from all the money that we spend on them. So, yeah, it's just a really sad tale. And for a series that I absolutely adore and love, it's sad that a studio who have a lot of talent are being treated this way. And I think the response from Deck Nine is pretty abhorrent, to be honest. And yeah, let's hope that the people who have come out to talk about it can actually manage to get some action done against them, because yeah, you shouldn't be writing games like this and using all of your talent in this way and then treated so appallingly. So, yeah, it sucks. It's a shame that we're having to come back to it again. It feels like it never ends, to be honest. There's always like every third week, there's another studio accused of something or other. So it'd be nice to have a year where actually they just got their shit together.
Yeah. I wanted to get into a paragraph that says the piece also named Deck Nine's former narrative director and CCO Zach Garris as a problem for a number of developers, with several women who worked at the studio expressing concerns about love bombing behavior from the developer and feeling unable to tell him no when he crossed personal boundaries. There were sources also recalled Garris saying representation in games didn't matter and calling Black Lives Matter a hate group when someone in the studio suggesting posting in support of it, and he would say to butt heads with marginalized members of the team who had to argue to keep portrayals of migrants and date rape like scenarios out of True Colors, but then were reprimanded by him for questioning the decision to remove a transgender character from the game. So he seemed like an impossibly difficult person to work with at Deck Nine for the at least for the minorities that work there. Kat, how do you feel? This must kind of suck.
Yeah, it gives me like the emotion ease because I'm fucking over it, really. Like, I'm just so over it. It's just not good enough, and yeah, it just isn't good enough. No one intentionally or unintentionally creates hate symbols for their game. Like, you don't get to be a fucking piece of shit and then not own your fucking shit. Like, what the fuck? And it's sad because Life is Strange as a series and Deck Nine as a developing studio are considered like a very LGBTQ plus friendly get like it's up there. It's always in the LGBT like user games because of the storylines that are said. There's some real emotional shit in Life is Strange. I think that's why so many people love it, because it does tell a story really, really well. So to think that in the back of that, behind the scenes, there are people who are experiencing that discrimination, that marginalization, that isolation, when they are trying to, when the people at the bottom are trying to show, or creatively be the people who are allying that. And then there are other people who are trying to stomp on that and saying it's unintentional. And then you've got senior management doing the one eye closed. I didn't know about this. This was an email that passed me by for 9 months. Oh, I guess I'll shut it down now that like people are causing up a stink. It just isn't good enough. And I don't understand why people or businesses think that they will get away with it now in 2024. Because they won't, quite frankly. And in some cases they will, because fucking Bobby Kotick is still fucking making millions. And people like him. So I guess in some respects, it's just not good enough. It just sucks because it's not good enough. But it's extra stingy from a developer and a creating team that are very, friendly of groups like, that support equality and Black lives and, LGBT and all of that. It just fucking sucks. People are assholes. So it hurts. It makes me angry. This whole scenario of turning a blind eye just isn't fucking good enough. and it doesn't wash. Like, I don't understand why they think that anybody reading that article is going to believe them, is going to go, oh, yeah, you're right. Maybe they didn't see it. Oh, yeah, you're right. Maybe they didn't know. Oh, yeah, you're right. Maybe he didn't remember, or she didn't remember saying that, or they didn't remember saying that. Like, shut up. Fuck off. And yeah, I wish that people would do better, and I'm proud of the people that continuously speak up about it. Because without those people, a lot would be getting away with, and it's not okay. And yeah, it just sucks. It makes me deeply, deeply angry and sad on complex levels. So, especially when it's something that is just something that we love to do every day.
Yeah, and especially in a series that's so beloved by like the LGBT minority
Exactly,
community.
exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And does tackle hard emotive subjects. So, yeah, it's not good enough. It needs to do better. Yeah, they need to do better. And I just hope that in 5 years' time, in 2 years' time, in 3 years' time, in a year's time, we're not continuously finding out that businesses think that they can get away with fucking shit like this. Because, yeah, it sucks.
It does suck. Josh, you want to round this one up?
Not much else to add, really, apart from that it's the sort of same virtue signaling type of stuff that you see from massive corporations when it's June every year, and everyone puts their pride flags on for a month, and that's about it. It kind of reeks of that sort of stuff, like, oh, we've hired minorities, like, what's your problem? What I will say, for the most part, is that this came from Rebecca Valentine at IGN. They've done an extensive report over there. Gamesindustry.biz kind of breaks it down, but this is that article over at IGN has got like the full list of everything, all the sort of alleged and the people that she spoke to over at Deck Nine, and it goes into all of it. So if you do have like an invested interest in Deck Nine's sort of ongoings, then definitely go check that out. There was stuff about kind of the writers kind of being separated from the higher ups, and their stories were being fought after, you know, with all the characters and their sexualities and stuff like that were all fought after. And you know, it's just a shame to know that these games weren't overall made with a passion, almost, not from the team that actually made the game and wrote the game and produced it, just the higher ups that were kind of just pushing them down, basically. They didn't want them to be their true selves, in a sense. And that's one of the most heartbreaking things, is that the people that do make some of these games, and just games in general, that they only do this for a passion. And if they've got an invested interest because they think it's important to them to have that kind of almost challenged by your higher ups, it mustn't. You know, it's going to be awful. It's going to make you feel like you're not wanted. And everyone is, and I hope everyone does feel like that. And hopefully, just this sort of like ousting of people is kind of the only thing that we can do. Just investigate everyone that kind of has this awful behavior, and things just need to change overall. So reports like this is just the start of it. And I hope that continuing on, we kind of do more than just kind of a slap on the wrist, because, you know, we're talking about Deck Nine today, but we've talked about previous companies for years that have got this sort of LGBTQ plus community behind it. And they kind of, I don't want to say weaponize, but they use sort of the platform that they've got to kind of introduce people into that kind of like Overwatch. There's like a big queer community behind that, But look at who owns them, who owns Overwatch, you know? So yeah, it's a shame, and everyone should do better. And you know, I hope there's actual consequences to this sort of reporting, because there needs to be.
Absolutely. And Deck9, obviously, a big fans of Deck9 and their games here. So we just wish everyone the best, and keep making kick-ass games, because that's what you guys do best. I just hope you can do it under much better conditions moving forward. All right then, let's do something completely different. I don't know, it feels weird talking about this now after talking about something so serious, but VGC are reporting that Xbox is planning to reveal a new Gears of War and Call of Duty at this year's summer Xbox event. This was kind of sort of confirmed by Giant Bomb's Jeff Grubb over on the kind of funny Xbox cast, the X cast. And so, yeah, I wanted to get everyone's thoughts. What do you want from a new Gears of War, Josh?
I never played the last one, Gears of War 5,
Right,
when
okay.
it switched protagonist, but I heard really good things. It kind of, some of the gameplay that I did see kind of reminded me of how God of War was treated when that came, did a comeback, and it changed the genre, its own genre a little bit, you know, with like sort of more open world levels that kind of had branching paths, and then you did have your main missions. And I think people really like that, so I hope that stuff like that just continues, and they can just get with the times still. I think some people might have complained about Gears 5 not being enough of a step into modern gaming, but sometimes you don't want that. Sometimes you do want the old school experience of just the cover shooter, and you know, as long as that happens and it's got all the cool characters that you know and love, and even some of the ones that were introduced in 5. That is fine with me, as someone who's looking from over the fence at Xbox. Yeah, and it's a no-brainer, really, with Gears and Call of Duty being announced in possibly their biggest event. I just think Xbox are really, like, for 2024, I think they're really starting to turn around their sort of their image publicly. Whether it was the development, what's it called, showcase that we saw in January, I think, where we basically was treated to deep dives into their releases for the year, and we
Right.
got Indie, and we got the Civ-like game, and
Avowed.
Avowed. So I just appreciate their messaging, and I appreciate their sort of steady pace now of like bringing back something that people are really Xbox gamers mainly wanting, kind of games that they can be proud about. And Jeff Grubb's pretty bang on with his predictions, or not predictions, but he kind of has insider knowledge. So it feel like he's probably on the money about the announcement.
Yeah, I feel that too. He seems to have a bit of a gift for it when he
Finger on the pulse.
indeed, good old Jeff Grubb. Kat, I know this is like your two of your favorite franchises. So, what do you want to see? What do you want to see from Gears of War and Call of Duty next?
Just Gears and War and Call of Duty. I would like to see. Would like to see bubble guns. And war
Yeah.
guns, like a bubble gun feature. Do you know what, actually? I actually don't mind Call of Duty. I will, embellish a Call of Duty game every so often.
Sure.
I will, what's the word? I'm not looking for the word embellish. What's the fucking word that I'm looking for?
Indulge, embrace.
Indulge. I'll indulge. Yeah, I'll indulge in a Call of Duty game. Gears of War, not so much. I don't feel like I've ever played that, or if I have, it was like 15 years ago and I didn't know what it was. So yeah, but Call of Duty, I don't know, I think they could do, I think as long as they don't do the thing that they've been doing recently in regards to repurposing just all of the fucking shit they've already done. Like, I just don't understand how you can make players wait like a year or two to be like, hey, here's the map that you've been playing from the last game. It's just like exactly the same. Crack on. Bye. What?
Yeah.
So maybe don't do that. But Yeah, if it was like a whole new pod, different vibe, different story, different zombie mode, I'd be here for that. I'd give it a go. I'd indulge. Although maybe I wouldn't indulge because fuck me, the download.
Yeah.
Fuck, bro. Fuck, man. You've basically got to buy a fucking PlayStation. You delete everything on your PlayStation just to wait 4.5 days for this to download. It's nuts. Crazy. So, yeah.
So what I'm saying is, for the next Call of Duty, compress the file, please, guys. That would be nice.
Yeah, like do what, yeah. And yeah, and also like the way that you made your own little desktop for all of the Call of Duties to sit on, pants, hate it, looks shit.
Yeah,
Don't do that.
nobody wants that.
Nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. Nobody asked for it. Nobody wants it. Take it back.
It's genuinely awful. Thank you.
Yeah, genuinely fucking pants. Yeah, so that's me.
I love it. Dreadful.
Bobagons, power wash killer simulator duty. That's what I like.
I'm welling. I'm welling. I need a Power Wars simulated Call of Duty crossover now. That'd be sweet as fuck. Miles, give me your best estimations on Gears and Call of Duty next. Because Modern Warfare 3, they might have taken a bit of a knock.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
No, me neither.
I was not a fan. I don't think any of us were, to be fair. We're not keen. I also just want a third that the launcher is absolutely fucking atrocious. And if they don't fix that, I don't even want to touch the next one. And I would also love Power Wash of Duty. That would be a game that I would absolutely play the crap out of. So
All of Power Wash.
I'd love to see the skins from Warzone, like Nicki Minaj running around with power washers, power hosing each other to death. That would just be a game that I think would smack.
Yeah, like a mode. I just want like a mode where like it's a water fight.
Yeah, they could swap
I
out, you know, like how
want
you go to the gulag or whatever it is when you die in Warzone for like a chance to re
that.
revive. They should just give you a
Yeah.
power washer and you have to
Yeah.
power wash each other to death, and whoever wins gets to go back into the field and play properly.
Wear t-shirt competitions.
Exactly.
I think we're on to a winner.
It's funny that you guys mentioned this because I did read recently that there was like some leaked info about a parkour map being added to Call of Duty. So,
Amazing.
like, you try to be funny, but
It's a
stranger things
thing.
are happening. Yeah, like it's happening.
Honestly, you just need the power wash weapon and there you go, sorted.
That's
it'll
it.
be like Splatoon, but first person. I think we've spoken about it so many times of like Microsoft need a big conference, and every time we hope they're going to deliver it, somehow it just never quite delivers up to the hope of what we want. I think the last one was okay. I've got to say, after the last showing of Avowed, I'm hoping that they're going to come back with something that actually kind of sells it a bit better than the last showing did. I think Call of Duty needs to really regain some of its momentum again after the debacle, which was last year, and Microsoft need a win with that. Because if they screw Call of Duty up again, having just acquired it, it's not going to be a good sign. But Warzone is still doing gangbusters, so I suppose they don't really care all that much. With Gears, I'm a bit like, I didn't play 4 or 5. I read a lot about it at the time. I was just interested because it was a lot of like complaining about how the story was very like, it tried to do the tropes of like the late 2010s, of like the God of War, like Red Dead 2 style of storytelling. And apparently a lot of people didn't really like that. So I think they're in a real conundrum as to whether they go back to like the old school roots of like the 2000s kind of storytelling, which might not land anymore. Or they have to stick with what they were going for 4 and 5, but actually make it land this time and do it properly. Which is a very awkward middle ground to be in because basically either side is not going to be happy. And if you go into the middle, then neither side is happy anyway. So I think they've got a bit of work to do to make Gears 6 an appealing game, but it is still a Gears game. So regardless, it'll still be a well-selling, well-received title. And as long as it plays well, I think that's what most people will look for. It's one of the few series that I do actually want to dabble in a bit more on the Microsoft side of things. So it's kind of the same thing as what we always say with the conferences. They just need to show us good stuff, gameplay, get us those release dates so that we actually know when they're coming. So there's a pipeline of games to look forward to. Gears 6 is apparently hopefully going to happen this year. Obviously, Call of Duty will happen this year. So if they can get Avowed to look good and get a release date on it for this year, that could be three big games that they have in the pipeline. Hellblade 2 is coming in a month or so. So that could be the kickstart for it. So I'm hesitant to say it because we've said it so many times, but this could be the start of it if they can manage to nail it down and actually do it properly. So let's fingers crossed that Microsoft can get these games out the door and we could finally have something to look forward to and talk about on the pod.
That would be nice.
It would be cool, like, because we don't hate Microsoft and we don't hate Xbox. They just don't release
Yeah.
anything for us to get excited about, except for Starfield for a week. And then that kind of wasn't as exciting for you anymore after the first week.
Well, indeed, that was a big problem. Yeah, I blitzed Starfield, but then I was like, okay, I'm done. And yeah, we didn't really get back to it. But yeah, I mean, if they can bring back some dormant franchises like Gears, and breathe some new life into Call of Duty, then I'm all for it. I'm all for whatever they have. And no, we don't hate Xbox. Okay, I'm tired of people saying this. Really don't.
We don't hate them. They just don't release
They just
anything.
don't give us anything to talk about.
Listen, when Hellblade 2 lands, I will gush for an entire podcast about that game, and I already know I probably will. So it
You
will
will.
happen. They just have to release the game so that we can actually enjoy them.
Like, I want Perfect Dark more than anything on earth.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to be waiting years and years for that.
That game is sitting in perfect dark, that's for sure.
Oh, wow.
I
Oh,
went
wow.
there.
Yeah, you did.
I'm so sorry, Roscoe. It's like me with the Dino Crisis remake that doesn't exist.
Come on, Arsenal. You better win this goddamn league, you
Oh
bastards.
wow, that's too far, man. That's not okay. You're a sick man.
I really enjoyed Gears. I always thought it was fun. And yeah, Modern Warfare 3 was just dreadful. So I really hope that whatever comes next is a return to form. I'll take a Black Ops remaster or a Black Ops remake. I love the original Black Ops. But yeah, not entirely sure what's coming next. But I guess that's a good thing. Hopefully they can actually start making something again instead of a 3-hour piece of shit with the Gold Modern Warfare 3. Absolute disaster. Very, very quickly, let's go to Game, who are reportedly cutting an unspecified number of jobs. We called this a little while back, once they started cancelling the trade-ins, if you remember that a little while ago. Speaking to Eurogamer, multiple employees said workers have been told to expect redundancies at the company as they move forward to non-managers 0-hour contracts. Sorry, the company moves most non-managers to 0-hour contracts. These are casual contracts where employees aren't required to offer work to staff, and workers aren't required to accept it if it is offered. Those set to be impacted by layoffs were reportedly told they would be contacted separately. Game UK is still spread over 320 stores and concessions within Sports Direct, including my hometown, and House of Fraser, according to the company. Yeah, very quickly before we get to recommendations, the writing was on the wall for this. Josh, I guess game time is, well, it's only a matter of time, really, isn't it? I would assume.
Yeah, it's certainly not game time anymore. That's for
Hey!
sure. We talked about the trade-ins a couple of months back, and then I also tried to go in store. And when I say in store, it was at the back of a Sports Direct looking sad. I tried to buy Helldivers 2 with my credit, or part of it with credit, and they were like, "Yeah, our systems are down, and they have been for a little bit, and we're not too sure when they're coming back." I was like, okay, well, that sounds like it's never coming back. And I've got an elite membership and I had credit, and I was just a bit like, oh, well, I don't want to lose that. So I picked up, I think it's called Demon's Tear. It was by Doinksoft. It was on sale, and I got the whole game for it because of the credit. But yeah, so that's what I'm saying in the Slack now to Toby, or I was saying it out loud, just like, if you've got credit, use it, because that might not last. This happened with me and HMV. Remember when that went kaput for a minute? I was a member on that, and I had a lot of credit, and I just lost it because I didn't use it, and they just went bankrupt instantly. So I don't want to didn't want to make that same mistake again. So yeah, it's just I know it's like us, you saying it was writing on the walls, like we knew it was coming, but it's still a sad day to know that, like, the one brick and mortar store for games, brand new games, I won't include CEX, is going. It's just strange. And it's also where we get a lot of our data for new releases. Like game sales is where we get the information for how a certain game does in the UK. Otherwise, we wouldn't get any analytics at all. So for that side, we just kind of won't know anything anymore about how games do on a broader scale. But you know, the move is digital these days for most people. So yeah, I think Anyone who's sad about it, they obviously might be physical shoppers like me, but and Amazon being a retailer that undercuts new releases all the time, probably to get a sale over game. Yeah, it's just a shame to see it.
It is, but I'm also hoping that this means that special editions and collector's editions will be available elsewhere rather than just game. Because that irritates me.
That irritates me too. They used to do free shipping for orders over a certain price, and if I got a collector's edition, I'd use that and I'd get the free shipping. And it just they started charging. I was like, oh wow, now I kind of don't want it. But it I can't imagine if it's not game exclusive, where could it go? I mean, hopefully
Amazon,
it's out.
please.
Yeah, it might be Amazon. I was hoping somewhere more game specific, but
Amazon or Shop2, I guess, could be one.
yeah, Shop 2 is pretty popular.
I use Shop2 quite a bit. I think it's a really, really cool service. I love their price of digital cards are fantastic. You can save up to 10 quid, regardless how high you go. Like a £100 card is like £91. So little things like that make it worthwhile. Especially if you're buying sort of like massive AAA stuff off the PSN store. Any way to save money is always a bonus. All right then. Gatmar's got any thoughts on this?
Not especially. I don't really buy many physical copies anymore. I can't say I'm overly surprised, as we kind of alluded to. We kind of expected this was coming. So it is a sad state of affairs, but I've also kind of contributed to it by the fact that I don't buy physical copies of games anymore. So unfortunately, it's just the movement of the industries now.
KB.
It's just yikes, isn't it? It's a sad state, and it'll be a shame not to see it on the high street if it does go or if it lessens. I know Josh will be glad because I always have stories of him, getting to game or running to game to pick up his copy of something or whatever. Toad is gonna be gutted because how will he, make money off of buying games when he plays them quickly and then brings them back. But nothing more to add.
Indeed. I do miss going there for midnight launches and stuff. I used to love doing that. I used to love
Yeah, that was
going
really cool.
at midnight, getting the game, taking it home, playing it all night. That was really fun. You get to surround yourself with like-minded people for an hour or two. And it was always fun.
What was your last one
Oh
that
God.
you went to?
I want to say Halo. Possibly five.
Halo. Oh wow. Well, I think mine was GTA 5.
Oh right, yeah, I didn't go to no, I remember I have fond memories of walking into town at like 8:30 a.m. in the morning for GTA 5. Going to
Wow.
game to buy it and getting a McDonald's breakfast on the way home. It was lovely. It was a beautiful
Oh, that's the smart move, really. Not being in a queue in the cold at midnight, getting a breakfast and a game.
I'd have
Sorted.
did the exact same thing for The Last of Us when that came out because I had to go and buy a
Excellent.
PS3 as well to play it. So I just did both at the same time. It was a good morning. All right then, let's get to recommendations. Let's see if we find something throughout the week that we want to share with you, our loyal listener, whether it be a game, a TV show, a comic book, a movie, or something completely different. Miles, what is your recommendation this week, sir?
Mine is a concert, Roscoe, and
A
it's called.
concert?
I know, it's so exciting. I went to it last night and I'm quite tired today because of how late I ended up getting back from it. It's the world of Hans Zimmer, and it is his.
Oh, what?
Honestly, I cannot even express to you how incredible this thing was. So it's composed, or like the composer, the person who's at the front does all the little flicks and tricks and whatever. I don't know, the
The
orchestra.
conductor.
That's the one, the conductor. That's what I was
The
looking for.
orchestrian.
Oh, honestly, I was trying to think of the word and I was like, I can't think of it. I'll just go with conductor. And then I was like, nah, the orchestrant stricter. So the conductor is one of Hans's best friends. And the orchestra that does all the music is all of Hans's actual musicians. And they do all of his different soundtracks from so many different movies. There was Interstellar, Inception, The Dark Knight. Pearl Harbor, Man of Steel, Pirates of the Caribbean, Kung Fu Panda was wicked, and then they brought out the South African choir for The Lion King, which was unbelievable, like genuinely sensational. And there's something about hearing the Interstellar, like Interstellar's got one of my favorite soundtracks ever. Like the music is just absolutely beautiful. But there's something about hearing it live, which is just disgustingly good. It was, for want of a better phrase, out of this world, pardon the pun.
Hey!
And honestly, I just sat through this whole, it was started at like just after 8 o'clock. It finished at 10 to 11 at night. And it was just 2 and a bit hours of sensational music, and my emotions hurt at the end of it. That's how like deep and powerful it is. So yeah, if you get an opportunity to go, just go do it. Just book your tickets and go. You won't regret it. It doesn't matter how far you have to travel, it is 1000% worth it. The experience of it is just sensational. So yeah, from going from Planet Zoo as a non-recommendation to this is quite the wild swing. But yeah, amazing.
I think you forget how many films that man has actually contributed to.
So many.
And it's unbelievable that every single time, it's they're absolute bangers every single time.
It's insane. Like, even there was a couple on there that I haven't or don't know as well as the other ones. Like The Prince of Egypt, I think it is, or The Princess of Egypt, whichever one that one is. That was spectacular. And I was like, I don't even know this soundtrack, and it's just phenomenal. And yeah, like you said, he's just worked on so much. The Dune one is excellent. I hadn't realized he'd done Dune or that he'd done a James Bond movie, and I was like, oh my god, how did I not know this? And yeah, just across the board, it's just phenomenal music. And the violinist especially, she was like a machine. I actually cannot even physically comprehend how one person can be that talented.
Oh man.
So yeah, it was phenomenal.
When violinists are also sort of performers, like, there's nothing like it, is there? It's no. So fucking cool to watch.
It's like a power unto itself. It's a superpower. Like, I was just bewildered at how incredible she was at, like, creating this music. It was unbelievable.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, okay, I might have to get a ticket.
You really do. Any opportunity, just go. You won't regret it.
I also want to do, like, a John Williams one. I want to do, like, a double bill.
Oh, you know? I think I'll cry.
You know, bit of hands in when they go to John Williams, better Jurassic Park. You know, it'd be stunning. Kat, what'd be your recommendation?
Well, mine isn't as cool as going to see Hands and Alive. That is super duper cool. They did get back super late while I boxed out and did my assignment. But I have done a lot of driving over the last week, which means sometimes when I fancy it, I'll shove on an album and just like listen to it and see if it like see if it takes me.
Mm-hmm.
And this time I listened to Fletcher, and her new album is called In Search of an Antidote, and it fucking slaps. It's really good. I absolutely love it. Once I put it on, it was just like one of those things where I was like, I don't mind if this loops all the way around again. because there were just some songs where I was like, yeah, that fucking sucks. Yeah, that song's a bop. Oh, this is a good song. Oh, and yeah, it's really nice when you find an album that does that. So yeah, for me, it's Fletcher. I've seen her live, actually. She supported Panic! At the Disco. So she was just as good live. Super rocks my socks off. So yeah, that's what I've been listening to all week. So big recommendation for her.
Nice. Yes. I'm a fan of the single. I don't know what it's called. But yeah, it was a
noise.
It slaps is what it does. It slaps.
Yes.
Josh, what'd be your recommendation?
Paramount are gonna have to start paying me to talk about their service and what's on there because it's going to be a recommendation from there again. I'm getting my money's worth. But no, I'm really happy to talk about this because it is one that I have wanted to watch since I saw the trailer and then I did its cinema release. But that is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
Yeah!
I'm not like a massive Turtles stan, but I really enjoyed, I think, the 2004 cartoon, and I think that this version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is the coolest they've been in a very long time. I think they've gone through multiple iterations And I know I'm growing up, so not everything's going to grab me, but this one has absolutely grabbed me by the balls. I love this movie. It was so fun. The humor in it is amazing. You can tell that kind of Seth Rogen producing it, and he's got his hands all over it because it's such that sort of humor. And yeah, I cannot wait to for a sequel of this movie. Can't wait for the video game that's based on this movie to come out later this year. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I really love the art style. I would compare it to the Spider-Verse movies, but I wouldn't in the same vein because it's not like that. But it is very different and interesting. And I felt that the human characters looked uglier than the turtles, and I think that might have been a point of the movie, is that they look more normal than the humans look because they are nicer people. Well, nicer turtles, should I say. But yeah, it's got a stacked cast and a really cool ending fight, and Ice Cube as the Superfly is also an absolute highlight. So definitely go check out that movie.
Well, I second that as well. It's just so much fun. And yeah, you're right. I think it does owe a little bit to Spider-Verse. Does have that vibe. But it's not a bad thing at all.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not a bad thing. And what am I recommending? I am recommending Cowboy Carter. I have spent the week listening to Beyoncé's new album, trying to figure out what the bloody hell it is, because it ain't an R&B album. It ain't a hip-hop album. It sure as shit isn't a country album. And yet it is all those things, all at the same time. And I can't get my head around it. And so I proclaim it to be a fantastic album just for that reason. It's the same way that I felt after listening to Billie Eilish's album, When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? You know, when I listened to that, I was like, what the hell is this? I don't know what it is, but I think I like it. And the new Beyonce album was doing the exact same thing. I should say it's Renaissance 2, Cowboy Carter, but I just call it Cowboy Carter because that's what it's called. But it's a great album. I know it's had some mixed reviews. I know some people absolutely despise it. Some people think it's terrible, but I think it's great. It's got some really smart musical kind of mashups in there. The way that it kind of mixes hip hop and country and R&B, you know, it's a really kind of collective of so many different genres. And it's well worth a listen if you're into, if you like country music, you're not going to like it because it's not a country album. If you like, you know, if you don't like hip hop, then you're not going to like it because it's just got too much of that as well. But I think if you can, if you're open minded enough to kind of enjoy a variety of genres, I think Cowboy Carter really has something for you because it's so unique and I've never heard anything like it. And it's well worth a go if you're at all interested in Beyonce, who I think has never really lost it, but I haven't listened to for a little while. But to come back on, she sounds so much more creative, and she sounds like she's really been challenged to make this album, and it sounds fantastic because of that. Because it sounds really fun, you know. It's a fun album. There's some great tracks on there, and yeah, it's well worth a go. So if you are on the fence about it, which I know a lot of people are, because it's just so different to everything she's done and everything you can probably think of at the moment. It's so unique, but yeah, it's great. So that's Cowboy Carter, which is out now. Go check it out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that does bring a solemn end to the Finger Guns Podcast, episode 248. And we are 2 weeks away from episode 250. Hopefully next week, I can officially confirm our guests, of which there are going to be a few. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I really want to tell you now, but I can't. So I'm going to hold off for the time being. But this has been the Finger Guns Podcast. Thank you very much, Steve, for listening. Don't forget, if you want to follow us, you can follow us absolutely everywhere. Just go to the link tree in the description below to find us in all the places. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can at FNGRGNS. All of our individual handles are in the description below, except for Mars, of course. He's smart and not on Twitter. If you really like what we do, want to follow on Patreon for $1 a month, you can keep the podcast live on its various podcast hosting services and keep the website nice and shiny. And hey, if you really like what we do, want to leave us a review over at Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. You can leave us a 5-star review. That keeps us in the search engines for the gaming podcasts. and keeps us front and center in the discoverability. And well, that really helps the podcast because it gets us to a much wider audience. And if you want to help us out by doing that, then please do. That would be amazing. But until next time, it is goodbye from Kat.
See you later.
It is goodbye from Miles Thompson.
Farewell.
And it is goodbye from Josh Thompson.
Goodbye, everyone.
I've been Roscoe. We'll see you for episode 249 next week. But until then, live long and prosper, my friends. Bye.